وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ.
And recall, when you killed a man and then began to remonstrate and cast the blame of killing upon one another, even though Allah was determined to bring to light what you were hiding.
فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ.
Then we ordered, smite the corpse with a part of it. Thus does Allah bring the dead to life, and thus does He show His signs that you might understand.
Thus does Allah bring the dead to life, and thus does He show His signs that you might understand. At least one thing becomes clear from this statement, that the slain person was restored to life at least long enough to indicate his assassins. But the actual words in which the order, smite the corpse with a part of it, is couched tend to create a measure of ambiguity. Nevertheless, the meaning inferred by the early Quranic commentators that the order was to smite the slain man's body with some part of the slaughtered cow seems to me plausible. Two birds were thus killed with one stone. First, they were made to behold the sign of God's power, and second, the notion that the cow possessed any holiness or sanctity was shattered. For if the object of their worship, the cow, had any supernatural power, some calamity should have visited them as a consequence of slaughtering it. But no calamity took place. On the contrary, killing the cow seemed to be beneficial insofar as striking a dead man with a part of it brought him back to life.
ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون.
Then, even after observing this, your hearts hardened and became like stones, or even harder. For surely there are some stones from which streams burst forth, and some that split asunder, and water issues out, and some that crash down for fear of Allah. Allah is not heedless of the things you do.
أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِن بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوهُ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ.
Do you hope that these people will believe in the message you are preaching, even though a party of them has been wont to listen to the word of Allah, and after they had fully grasped it, knowingly distorted it?
Do you hope that these people will believe in the message you are preaching?
This is addressed to the converts of Medina, who had then lately embraced the faith of the Arabian Prophet. These people had some vague notions about prophethood, heavenly scriptures, angels, the afterlife, divine law, and so on, and for this they were indebted to their Jewish neighbors. It was from these same Jewish neighbors that they had heard that another prophet was about to appear, and that his followers would prevail over the rest of the world. It was partly because of this background that when the people of Medina heard about the prophet, they readily turned towards him and embraced Islam in large numbers. They naturally expected that those who already followed prophets and divine scriptures, and who, by introducing them to these ideas, had contributed to their embracing the true faith, would not only join the ranks of the true believers, but would even be amongst their vanguard. As a result of these expectations, the enthusiastic Muslim converts approached their Jewish friends and neighbors and invited them to embrace Islam. When the Jews flatly declined to do so, this negative reply was exploited by the hypocrites and other enemies of Islam as an argument for creating doubts about the truth of Islam. If Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the true prophet, they argued, how was it conceivable that the Jewish scholars and divines would deliberately turn away from him since, if he was a true prophet, such a behavior would be tantamount to ruining their afterlife? Here, the simple-hearted Muslims learn of the historical record of the Jews, a record which is replete with perversion and corruption. This was designed to make them realize that they ought not to expect too much of a people with so dark a past, for if they were not realistic in their expectations about them, they would be utterly disappointed when their call failed to penetrate their hardened and stony hearts. Their chronic decadence had a history of several centuries. For a long time, they had treated those verses of the scriptures which made sincere believers tremble in awe as objects of jest and play. They had tailored religion to suit their base desires. It was around such a perverted view of religion that all their hopes of salvation were centered. It was futile to hope that such people would flock to the call of truth the moment it was proclaimed. Even though a party of them has been wont to listen to the word of Allah, and after they had fully grasped it knowingly, distorted it, a party of them refers to the scholars and religious doctors of the Jewish community. The word of God here signifies the Torah, the Psalms, Zabur, and other scriptures which the Jews had received through the prophets. Distortion denotes the attempt to twist a text in such a manner as to make it signify something different from its real meaning, and may also denote tampering with the text of the scriptures. The Israelite scholars had subjected the scriptures to distortions of both kinds.
وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَا بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ قَالُوا أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُم بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لِيُحَاجُّوكُم بِهِ عِندَ رَبِّكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ
And when they meet those who believe in Muhammad, peace be upon him, they say, we too believe in him. But in their intimate meetings, they say to one another, how foolish! Why should you intimate to them what Allah has revealed to you? For they will use it as an argument against you before your Lord.
When the Jews talked among themselves, they asked about their co-religionists to disclose to the Muslims neither the prophecies about the Prophet nor those verses of the scriptures on the basis of which they could be reproached for their evil conduct. They thought that the Muslims would make use of scriptural arguments against them before God and would thus have them pronounced guilty. These were the depths to which Jewish religious decadence had sunk. They were convinced that if they could succeed in concealing their guilt in this world, they would be saved from censure in the next. For this reason, they were asked if they considered God to be unaware of their deeds, either apparent or hidden.
أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ
Are they unaware that Allah knows all that they hide and all that they disclose?
وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ
Among them are also the unlettered folk, who do not know about the scriptures, but cherish baseless wishes and merely follow their conjectures.
This was the state of the Jewish masses. They were ignorant of the scriptures, unaware of the principles of faith as enunciated by God in His book, unaware of the rules of conduct that He had laid down, and of the teachings which are of fundamental importance for man's salvation. Because they lack this knowledge, they fabricated a whole religion out of their desires and fancies, living in a paradise built on false hopes and illusions.
فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ
Woe, then, to those who write out the scriptures with their own hands, and then, in order to make a trifling gain, claim, "This is from Allah." Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they thus earn.
Woe, then, to those who write out the scriptures with their own hands, and then in order to make a trifling gain claim. This is from Allah.
These observations relate to their rabbis. They were not content with misinterpreting the word of God. They also interjected into it their readings of the scriptures and their explanatory comments thereof, stories from their national history, superstitious ideas and fancies, philosophical doctrines and legal rules. The result was that the divine and the human became inextricably mixed. They claimed, nevertheless, that the entire thing was divine. Every historical anecdote, the interpretation of every commentator, the doctrine of every theologian, and the legal deduction of every jurist that managed to find its way into the Bible became the Word of God. It was thus obligatory to believe in all that, and every deviation from it became tantamount to deviation from the true faith.
وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدًا أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
And they say, the fire will certainly not touch us except for a limited number of days. Say to them, have you received a promise from Allah? For Allah never breaks His promise. Or do you attribute to Allah something about which you have no knowledge?
And they say, the fire will certainly not touch us except for a limited number of days.
This is a misconception entertained by all Jews, laymen as well as rabbis. They felt sure that no matter what they did, they would remain immune from hellfire just by virtue of being Jews. The worst they could conceive of was the possibility of a transient punishment before they were transported to heaven.
بَلَى مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ
Those who earn evil and are encompassed by their sinfulness are the people of the fire, and there will they abide.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ
Those who believe and do righteous deeds are the people of the garden, and there they will abide.